Well, hey, church, glad to see you guys here this morning. Before we get rolling this morning, I want to do something a little bit different. I want to give you guys a quick kind of building update. I realize that a lot of you guys have questions and been asking questions of just like when, where, how, what's going on with all this, what's it going to look like? And so I just want to update you guys on that. I've also noticed that 2 years ago when we kind of launched the idea of building this building that we're doing, a lot of you guys weren't here for that. Okay, a lot of you guys have started coming to Grace after that, and we probably haven't done a great job at kind of keeping everybody updated, and so I just want to do that. As most of you know, about 4.5 years ago, we opened our doors here in Tiffin, and that was about 6 months before COVID, and we very quickly realized that we were going to need more room, a lot more room. And so we immediately expanded to 2 services. It was one of the coolest things I've ever seen, just kind of the launching. A lot of you guys were here for that, just kind of the launching of the campus here. And the kids area was packed. We had way more people than what we ever had expected. And so what we started to do is we decided that we needed to create kind of a master plan for our space, for our building here at our Tiffin campus. And so we started putting the pieces together. We knew that we need a bigger auditorium sometime. We need more kids space. We needed some adult space, those types of things. We needed offices at some point. And so we started putting these things together, and we realized quickly, along with parking, that we did not have enough property to do all the things that we thought we wanted, that we were going to need to do someday in the future to be a church of around 2,000 or so. And so we started looking around, and we realized that there was a couple acres back here that was owned by the Newman family. They're one of us. They're in our church family. And so we were able to talk to them, and they were able to give us those 2 acres that we needed for parking someday in the future. It's a field right out here. It's connected to our current property. And so now we have about 7 acres plus-ish. And with that, we're able to start rolling on our kind of master plan when it came to facilities here. And so they really, really, really helped us out of a tough spot. Saved us millions of dollars by doing that for sure. 2 years ago, February of 22, we launched our EO3 campaign, okay? EO3 stands for Everyone on 3. And so we, all 3 campuses, were doing this. We wanted everybody to be involved with the 3 things that we were focusing on that we're going to be doing for 3 years, all 3 campuses doing the same thing. And that included children's space, that included developing leaders, and that included launching a new campus by the year 2025, which, by the way, we're a little behind on, but we have some news that I'm excited to share with you guys that hopefully within the next month or so, we'll be able to solidify some things. And we're still on track to do that. And so here in Tiffin, we realized that out of those 3 things that we're going to be helping with, that one of them really stood out as probably for us the most important thing, which was Tiffin, which was children's space, right? We wanted to get children's space built here ASAP. And so we had a vision for a unique space that wouldn't just be used on Sundays, all right? We wanted a space that could be used by the community, that could be used during the week. We weren't 100% sure what that would look like exactly. And so last year we hired one of the premier modern church architects in the nation. And it's a company out of Oklahoma. And we hired them to kind of draw up our master plan. So I flew out there once. We had some meetings. They flew out here. They walked our building. They've been all over this building. They've taken measurements. They've walked our property here. And with that, together, and based off of the needs here specifically at our Tiffin campus, we drew up a master plan for our buildings here. And this is what it looks like. Hopefully, I think you've seen this before. And so this is our master plan. We kind of broke it up into different phases. I'll kind of draw our current building. This is our current, let's do that. This is our current building right now that's what it looks like. And so with that, we knew, you know, we're going to be adding quite a bit more space. The blue kind of represents some of the children's space that we're planning on putting in. This is a major, this obviously is the auditorium, which is a lot bigger than what we're dealing with right now. We knew that we were going to have to add in offices. We only got two in the building right at the moment. And then we needed to add adult space. And someday future, the last thing on our list is some large room that we designate as the chapel or some sort of room like that that we could use for weddings and funerals so that they're not in necessarily our auditorium. And so with that, we're excited about it. We kind of broke it up into different phases. And last year, I showed you some of the renderings that some of the renderings that the architects came up with. And so this is what our church building will look like someday, if everything goes as planned, which rarely it does. But this is our hope. That's the phase that we're building right now, that playground structure. And so as we go through this, this is how it should look from 224 from the road. But as we go through this, we're excited to kind of get some of these things rolling. With the master plan set, what we're able to do is we're able to start picking off some different parts of that. As you know, a couple years ago, we were able to pave the current portion of our parking lot that we got. We are excited about that. We're glad to have that done. That cost us $165,000 to do. We're able to do that in cash while still getting ready for this, for our first building. And so we got that done. And so now we're starting to focus on the building portion and the master plan. This room actually is our current auditorium here, if you can imagine that, facing this way, okay? So just kind of a large space. Here at Grace, we value our, what do you call it, like lobby space, atrium space. We value that space because we want people to come to church, come to a service, and then we want people to stick around and talk to each other. And so that's the kind of space that gives us the ability to do. So we want large open space, no little hallways where people are just passing by saying hi, and that's it. We want people to hang out with each other. And we see that comes straight out of the Bible. We see that in Acts chapter 2. It also gives us new office space like this. I've been trying to work on hiring a couple more pastors here, and they go to our office area. We show them the building and everything, and they're like, oh. All right, because we got two little offices and a little space that Blaine was in, but now he's working from home because we have no space for him, and that space has been filled up because we've been doing renovations, just all this stuff, and they're looking at it, and they're like, oh, and I'm like, yeah, all right, like, no pastor wants to hear. You'll have a really nice cubicle right here next to this guy that we haven't hired yet. I think he's going to be a really good guy. He's, you know, like, no one wants to hear that. But I show them those pictures of, like, the future offices, and they're all like, oh, okay, that's sweet, you know, like that kind of thing. And so we got that going for us. We can't wait to get started on that. And actually, we have gotten started on stuff. I mean, last month we broke ground on more children's space, and let's go back. This is the building that we are currently working on, okay? This is where that's located. That's what it's going to look like. It's an odd shape. It's different. We get that. But this children's space will be our first, really, it's our first phase to our additions that we feel like we need to build to be able to have more people here at our church. This building will include, that's what it'll look like from the outside. This building will include a new nursery. That'll be like the final nursery. It'll be big, it'll be large. We value our babies and we value our children, and there's not many churches around, from what I've seen, there's not many churches around that are busting out of their seams in the nursery, okay? Our church people are busy, apparently, and we're good. We're glad. Okay, we want kids. That's important to us. This is the next generation. It'll also include an extra classroom here that we desperately need for our children's area. It'll be the largest classroom that we have, and then it'll include a large children's like play area, a play space, and that's probably the coolest thing that we got going on. That's what it'll look like. It'll have a over here in the corner. That will be a like preschool area, so they're not getting run over by the bigger kids. And so we felt like we need something like that that'll be incorporated into it. But this children's space, I mean, this play space, this will be, honestly, it'll be huge. It'll be maybe, I'm not making this up, this might be the largest indoor playground in the whole state, and it'll be here, and it'll be ours, and we'll be able to fit a bunch of kids. Actually, it fits 200 kids, okay, is kind of the size of it. And so we're excited about that. We felt like we needed to do something that was large and that was expansive and expensive, okay? Those kind of go together there. And something that, you know, we didn't want it to be some McDonald's playground that's like kids go four times and they're like bored with it, okay? We needed something that's going to keep their attention for like years, you know? And so we wanted it large, we wanted it to be fun, and we wanted it to be impressive so that people from our community would feel like it's worth driving over here to use. And so along with that structure, we'll have, along with that classroom and that room where the play space will be in, those will be connected. And so we have it set up and we have it designed so that people can reserve that room and they can do their little birthday parties and stuff like that, that they'll be able to use the play space for while we will have that open at different times throughout the week. And so that building should be done this fall. And we're excited about it. We're ready to get this thing done. It will look weird for a while, okay? Like, I totally get, all right, we got this, like, kind of nub thing out here that's connected to our building. And so to get in, our parking's over here. You got to walk all the way around and go over here. All right, we know that. It's unfortunate. It's not ideal. But we're thinking, we're building this with master plan in mind, okay? So someday there'll be a main entrance here. There'll be a main entrance here facing the back. There'll be a main entrance facing County Road 1, which will actually be right here. These used to be garage doors that we filled in that we're going to be putting the doors back in and windows. And so those will be the three main entrances into the building. And then it'll be kids, adult space, auditorium. And so that's how we're doing it. That's, it's supposed to, you know, hopefully it's simple to new people. And so it might be weird for a while, but we'll be all right. And so just want to throw that out there. It's going to be a little inconvenient for us this summer. That's fine. The main doors will be open throughout construction. We kind of pressed into Klaus Construction on that. Like, hey, we need these doors open. And Lenny has been a huge help with that for us. And a guy named Steve Steinmetz, he's actually one of us. He goes to our Fremont campus. He's the project manager, and we used him when we did our first additions before we opened, and he's doing an excellent job. And so we are rolling here in Tiffin. And so one thing I just want to do is I want to thank you, all right, for your generosity. I know a lot of you guys have given towards this project. God is using our resources to reach the next generation. And one thing I just want to remind us about is that this generation of people, a lot of times we like to separate ourselves by age. No. This generation of people, we are responsible for this generation this generation of Christians, we are responsible for this generation of people. And we need to make space for the families that aren't here yet. And so if you consider your Grace, your church home, you need to be somewhat invested. It's just true. As your pastor, you should be somewhat invested on what's going on here. And I know a lot of you guys have give to Grace regularly and you're super generous. And I just want to say thank you to all that. And if you're new here, I'm not talking to you at all. All right, don't feel obligated. Like Mike said earlier, don't feel obligated to give anything. But if you call Grace your church home, this is something that you should be a part of and you should be invested in what's going on here. As our church family, we pool our money together to make this stuff happen. And yeah, sometimes it's a sacrifice. All right, Kate and I know that. Right, but if for you, you know, at least start in a little bit, at least jump in a little bit for this project. These buildings, while they're cool and they're unique and they're exciting, right? They're only tools to us. All right, they're tools. That's it. Tools to reach the community around us. This playground that we're building, all right, this is not for our kids. All right, it's not for my kids. I don't care if my kids have a big, cool indoor playground. Like, I'll be honest, I don't care. They're good. They can survive without it, for sure. All right, this is for the kids in my kids' classroom at school that my kids can invite them to church because we got a cool playground here and they want to come to church. And then through that, hopefully our goal is that they will hear the hope and forgiveness in Jesus. That's what we are about here at Grace. And it will be our tendency, all right, once we get this thing built with next year at this point, it will be our tendency to take our foot off the gas pedal as a church and kind of bask in our accomplishments and go, wow, look what we did. Wow, look what we are doing. Here's the deal, guys. We can never let ourselves get to that point. Super important. We cannot let ourselves get to that point, not when there's so many people in our community around us who don't know Jesus. All right, I'll give you permission to do that once we get every single person in Seneca County saved, okay? We do that, all right? Then you guys can do whatever you want, okay? But until that point, we have work to do as a church, and there's some urgency to it. I was just talking with a couple friends this week who are pastors at two different churches in two different states, and both of them were telling me the same thing. They are frustrated because they can't get the people of their church to buy into the aggressive nature of reaching people, okay? And I don't mean like beating people up and reaching them that way. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being aggressive and strategic on reaching the people in our community. And we as a church, we want to be aggressive in that way, right? We want to compete for the souls and of family and our friends in our community. And that's really our job and that's our mission. That's everything that we are supposed to be about, doing whatever we possibly can to reach as many people as we possibly can for Jesus. That's the mission that Jesus left us. It was the last thing that he told us before he went up to heaven. And that's the last thing he told his disciples. And so that's what we are all about. But the enemy will try everything that he can to distract us from that mission. And that's what I want to talk about today. As many of you know, we've been exploring an ancient document written by a Greek doctor named Luke. And Luke lived during the time of Jesus, but he did not know Jesus personally. And so Luke, he had heard the rumors and he heard the stories about all these things that this Jesus guy has done. And so Luke decides to go out and to investigate. Okay, he decided to look into some of these claims about this Jesus guy. And so he goes and he tracks down the eyewitnesses. He sits down with them. He asks them the tough questions. He has the conversations. And once he is done, he compiles all of his information that he has gathered from all of the eyewitnesses who actually got to experience Jesus. And he compiles it all down into one orderly document. And that is the book of Luke that we all have in each and every one of our Bibles. Now, a couple weeks ago, we talked about how there was a turning point in Jesus's ministry. We've been going through the story and been going through all the different things that Jesus has been doing now for the last few months since Christmas. But a couple weeks ago, Jesus switches. He shifts to the end game. We see this in Luke chapter 9. He says, when the days were coming to a close for him to be taken up, and let me just translate that, all right? He's saying, when Jesus knew he was going to die, all right? When Jesus knew that his time was running thin, that his time was almost up, he was determined to journey to Jerusalem. Jesus decides, he knows what's going to happen there, and even though he knows the pain and the suffering and the humiliation and the shame that all awaited for him in Jerusalem, he starts heading there anyway. And he's got a plan. And his plan is not to beeline it to Jerusalem. His plan is to take his time. He's going to start heading in that general direction. So he starts stopping in village after village after village and town after town after town. And he's trying to help as many people along the way to Jerusalem that he can. And he wants to meet as many people as he can. And one day, Luke tells us that while they were traveling to Jerusalem, it says, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Now, Martha, Luke tells us, had a sister named Mary. Now, Mary and Martha, you may have, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, you've probably heard at least of them. Mary and Martha were some of Jesus's like closest friends. In fact, they show up a few times. They had a brother named Lazarus, and Jesus was really, really close to this particular family. Most scholars believe that Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, that they were probably Jesus' friends from like back in the day. Like Jesus probably grew up with them. Like they've been friends maybe since childhood, which is something we don't think about much. Like Jesus is like an 8-year-old kid running around, but Jesus was that once. And so he would have been with other children, and these may have been three kids that he played with. We don't know for sure. And so Mary and Martha, they are sisters, but they are very different. At least from what we know. Martha, she sure seems like the rule follower. Okay, she likes everything in order. She's the type A. She's the high stress type girl. I mean, she likes everything in their certain space. Okay, you guys know people like this? All right, yeah, all right. We know some of you guys are people like this. Some of you guys are married to people like this. You're like, oh yeah, I know that. All right, Mary was different. All right, Mary, she sounds, from the way she's described, she's more of like the free spirit, right? Okay, this is some of you guys as well, where she's just kind of like, she wasn't really into the details. She was not good with details, right? She was kind of go with the flow, and she was the person who was always late to everything. Okay, that's Mary, right? And so Jesus is visiting Martha and Mary at their house, and Mary happens to be sitting at Jesus' feet and was listening to what he said. And so, which, that makes sense, because I'm just saying, like, if it was me, if God of the universe is sitting in my living room and he's talking, like, I'm probably going to be listening to that. Like, I don't know what else is going on, but, like, I want to be a part of that conversation. But Martha doesn't see it that way. She knows Jesus. This isn't as big of a deal to her as she probably should have made it. And so Martha, Luke tells us, Martha was distracted by her many tasks. All right? That's the word I want to focus on today. All right? She was distracted. Now, real quick, let's just do this. All right? Let's hold up your cell phone real quick. Let's see them. Let's see them all. Most of us, we got phones. Okay? All right? All right? We got them? You got them? All right? Turn it off. Can you turn it off real quick? Turn it off. All right? Some of us, our immediate reaction is to obviously not do that. It bothers us. No, I'm serious. Keep, like, turn it off. I'll talk while you go through that. Some of you guys, you haven't turned it off so long that you forget what it means. You're like, I don't even know how to do this. So, like, figure it out, okay? Turn off your phone real quick. Some of us, your immediate reaction when I ask you to do that, it bothers you. Like, you're not, like, mad or anything. You're just like, I don't really want to. You know, I don't want to do that. Here's the deal. All right. And some of you guys, you got like good excuses going on in your mind. Like, no, I can't do that. I got to write my notes on here from your message. Okay. Well, don't write notes today. All right. Try to retain it a little bit. Okay. Or some of you guys are like, well, my Bible's on my phone. All right. Well, I got it up here. Perfect. So we're good. Okay. Some of you guys are like, well, I'm telling my friends where I'm sitting so they come that your friends can survive without you for a second. Or I'm waiting for an important text because I got plans later. Here's the deal. The world will go on for the next 15 minutes without you. Okay, we got this. So, like, grab your phone, all right? If it's not off yet, hold that button, slide your finger across the screen, and turn it off. Now, does that feel good? No, it doesn't. Don't act like it does, all right? You wouldn't have your phone on if it did, okay? But your phone was on, okay? See, we are addicted to distraction. We just are. Like, it's real. Here's the deal. You have an enemy who wants to distract you. And he doesn't have to trip you up morally, necessarily. He doesn't have to bring you down. All the enemy has to do to get us off track is to keep us busy. Stealing your time. And that's the most important resource that you have. And so here's Martha. I want you to think about this. Here's Martha. Jesus gets to her house, which would have been awesome. All right, Jesus gets there, and she's trying to make sure that everything's, like, good to go. Some of you guys, you know exactly how this is, because this is totally you. We're running around, and you're, like, you're vacuuming. You know, you're getting the floor all vacuumed. She's setting the table. She's lighting all the scented candles, like, all over the house. Some of you guys are, like, essential oil things or oil, yeah, whatever that stuff is. Some of you guys, you're, like, going around to, like, the toilet paper, making sure it's facing the right way, because that would be so embarrassing. All right, some of you guys, type A people, are crazy. You got the Christian music playing, making sure it's not too hot, not too cold. You got the pie in the oven, but she doesn't want the pie to burn, so she has to check it like every 3 minutes, make sure the pie is still good. All right, it's good. And so Martha's going around. She's doing all this stuff, and she cannot help but notice that she is the only one ever doing anything. You ever notice that? Type A people. You're like, mm-hmm, okay. His sister, Mary, her sister, ain't helping, and it's just not fair. And we all got a family member like Mary, right? I mean, she's the one that, you know, we all got the family member who disappears when it's time to clean up. Okay, we all got that person. Ironically, usually it's the same person that gets all the leftovers at the end. It's not fair, all right, but that is. And if you can't think of who that person is, it's you, and you need to figure that out, okay? Help clean up a little bit. Or students, like college kids, you know how it is. Like when you have a group project going on and you know, a teacher puts you into groups. And so you're in this group and you email everybody. And you're like, okay, you type A people. What you do is you start assigning everybody their jobs. And you're like, and you usually take the hardest one, which I, being in group projects, seriously, appreciate, okay? But you start assigning people kind of their things, but there's always that one guy who doesn't respond to any emails, and he doesn't do anything, and so you type A people, you have to jump in, you Martha people, you got to jump in and kind of save the day for the entire group, and you got to do his work, and usually they have the same excuses of like, oh, I didn't get the emails, and you're like, yeah, right, okay? Like, you did, and so same thing. That's Mary. Like, that's the kind of person that Mary is. She's the free spirit. May not be the most responsible person. And then you got Martha. I mean, Martha would love to be with Jesus, but these dishes ain't gonna wash themselves, and so she's gotta take care of this thing. And if Martha were here today, like in our culture, all right, Martha would be like doing all the stuff that she's doing. She's lighting the candle, she's checking on the pie, she's making this, she's making that. She's multitasking, that's what we call it. And then she flips up her phone, she's scrolling through Facebook and Instagram, and she sees Mary's story. And Mary's like posting selfies with Jesus and stuff, like, Jesus in my house. Check this out. This is my living room. Peace. You know, like, she's doing all this stuff. And, you know, Martha doesn't want to seem petty because this is what some of you guys do. And so what do? You post a fake comment like, aw, you know, or cute, or you click that like button. But inside, she totally resents her. You ever been there? You totally resent that picture. You totally resent what she's doing. Martha is distracted, which is crazy to me, because I'm thinking about it this week as I'm going through stuff, and I probably had one of the most distracting weeks, you know, in the last year was like this week. I don't know why it is, especially while I'm teaching on distraction, so I'm like looking for it. But you know, Martha, it's crazy to me that she was so distracted, because think about what she didn't have that we have today that distracts us. I mean, she's got like housework. Well, we all got housework. Okay, we all got stuff like that. She didn't have cell phones. She had no school. She had no stores to run to, no office jobs. She had no kids' sporting events, no emails to answer, no lawns to mow, no texts to get back to, no cars to break down. She didn't have any of that stuff to worry about. So, you know, I'm looking at this. I'm like, what's so distracting about her life? Like, how could she be so busy? But that's what we do. Doesn't matter what era, what you know, time that we live in, we all do the same thing. We fill our lives with a bunch of busyness. We fill our lives with all this stuff and all these things to do. And busyness always pulls at us. It always does. See, ancient times, when like a king or somebody wanted to torture somebody to death, what they would actually do is sometimes they would tie a rope to people's arms and legs, and then they would tie them to a horse, and they would send the horses running in opposite directions. Can you picture that? Oh, I wouldn't want to picture that. That would be like not the way I would want to go. You know what I mean? You know what they call that? Distraction. That's what it was called. And if you're like me, man, sometimes you feel like this, right? Like, you ever feel like that, where you just feel like you're being pulled in multiple directions? Like, you got this one thing going on, but you got this other thing going on, you got this other thing, and you got to, like, figure it all at once. Again, we call it multitasking, but really, it's we're not focused on any one thing, and all these things in our life are competing for our attention, and it's like a weight on us, or at least that's what it feels like to me. It's like this weight, and usually this stuff is good stuff. I mean, just this week, as an example, and I'm saying all these things are good things. And all these things are good, but I gotta remember what my focus needs to be on. Just this week, we have got baptisms, okay? Well, that adds to my calendar. That adds to the different things that I need to do each week on top of the normal stuff. And baptisms are good. I get to meet with people. I love meeting with people. It's like the best part of my job. And so I want to do that, but I gotta remember that that's not the most important thing part of my job. My most important thing is doing whatever I can to reach as many people as I possibly can in my relationship with Jesus. A couple weeks ago, we also had the largest Connect class ever, which is awesome. I'm all about that. I get to meet with even more people because of that, and I look forward to that, but it just kind of weighs on you a little bit. Last couple weekends, I've had two funerals. Funerals are not something that I enjoy, but funerals are something that I want to do, because I get to meet people that I don't know, and I get to rub shoulders with people that I normally wouldn't rub shoulders with. But it is something that weighs on you, because you feel terrible for these families who are going through crisis, and it's just so, so sad. And just trying to kind of help people through that. This past week, I've been trying to make some hires, and we've been had interviews scheduled that we've been trying to go through. Got guys calling in, asking all these questions. I'm trying to get this done as fast as possible. On top of that, we got the new building stuff that I've been working through. We got a sprinkler system going in this entire existing building that we got to get done. All right, we got a renovation in our children's area that we started last, like, November, and it's still kind of lingering on. I just can't quite get it finished. And then, on top of that, we got some guys this week who were upset about something here about the church and kind of complaining a little bit, which hardly ever happens here because our church is so awesome. But once in a while, it crops up, and that was this week. On top of that, I got baseball practice and multiple music programs for multiple kids and fight club challenges that I'm trying to do, and things are breaking at my house that I gotta fix it. I mean, it's just all this crazy stuff. On Wednesday, I was driving from our Fremont campus to our Tiffin campus, and it was raining, and I have a Jeep now, and I'm in my Jeep, and everything's good, and then all of a sudden, water just starts, like, dripping from the ceiling, from the roof, and I'm just like, you gotta be kidding me, and it's dripping on my head, and it's not like I can move. I'm, like, stuck there, you know. I can, like, move up, but then it's dripping down my back, you know. That's not cool either, and so I'm just like, you've got to be kidding. You ever go there where you're just like, really? This week, I'm in my basement, which I hardly ever go in my basement. And I notice I got a sink down there, and it's just drip, 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 drip. You ever have that? For me, that wears on me. So I'm, like, looking around. I'm like, I need just to shut this water off because it's dripping. I got to fix this thing. And the plumber that put that in there never put, like, a shutoff valve. And I'm like, okay, great. And so right now, at this very minute, I'm, like, wasting water. I feel like it's like money just leaving my pocket. Money, you know, drip, 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 drip. I'm paying Aqua all this money for dripping. You know, I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. It just weighs on me. And that's on top of my normal stuff. See, for me, one of my main jobs here as a pastor is simply what I'm doing here right now on Sunday morning. You'd think I'd be a little better at it. But here on Sunday morning, it's doing the messages. And so for me, it takes me about 2.5 days to kind of put this all together and make this, like, presentable. And so Fridays of every week, that's like my crunch time. That's like, you know, I'm trying to, like, get this stuff done. And so what I have to do, what I've learned that helps me out a lot is if I take my phone and I put that in a different room. So I don't even have to hear it, right? I don't have to see it. It just won't distract me so I can focus on my message. I did this past week, and I just took a picture of my screenshot. I looked at it, I guess, at 1:28 on Friday. And in there, I'm looking at it. I'm just like, okay, I got 6 new calendar appointments requested. That's cool. I got 12 missed calls and 35 text messages that people have texted me. You're just like, what are people doing? And then on top of that, I got over 16,000 emails that I haven't opened yet, you know. So if I haven't answered your email yet, give me a couple years. I'll get there, okay? And so I feel like I'm just being pulled in multiple directions. Martha feels this way. Martha feels this way. And she goes to Jesus and she says, Jesus, don't you care? Now, we've seen this before, if you remember this. All right, we've seen his disciples question if he cares about them. Remember a few weeks ago, actually may have been a couple months ago, where Jesus and his disciples, they're crossing this huge lake called the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus, he's super tired because he's been teaching all day, and he is, like, worn out, so he's in the back of the boat sleeping on a pillow, and all of a sudden this huge storm comes up, which is normal for that lake, and the disciples are freaking out. They think they are going to die, and so they run over to Jesus. It's kind of a last resort, and they're, like, shaking him awake. They're like, Jesus, don't you even care? We're going to die here. And Jesus is like, what are you talking about? Here, same thing. You just got Martha, another one of Jesus' close friends, saying, Lord, don't you care? It's like the people that were closest to Jesus were always questioning whether he loved them enough, which is crazy. And so here's Martha. She's saying, don't you care that my lazy, my non-caring, she ain't doing anything, sister has left me to serve alone? So Jesus, tell her to give me a hand. I need help. And she's so worked up. She's bossing Jesus around. Tell her to do this. I need help. It's not fair. See, Martha, she's not distracted by bad things, right? I mean, think about it. She's doing good. She's doing real good. She's serving Jesus, literally. Like, what better thing could you do than this? And she would have been done by now, by the way, if she would have had a little help, okay? All right? Serving is good. Like, we get that. But I'm not 100% sure that her heart is in the right place. Like our hearts many times aren't in the right place. See, this looks like service, but maybe more, it might be more about the approval than others, of others. Right? This might look like service, but maybe this is more about what others think, right? She's got a bunch of people, understandably, coming to her house, and she's like, I want everybody to think that I have a clean house, that I make good food, that I got everything in order. FYI, can I just let you in on a little secret? All right? No one is busier than someone trying to manage the perception of others. No one is busier than someone who's constantly trying to manage the perception of others. Here's Jesus. He came to spend time with them. And instead of Martha taking advantage of this time, which is awesome, all right, I would love that. That's such a huge gift. Instead, Martha has made Jesus the problem. And everybody in the room is looking at Jesus. And Martha is awkward. It's a little tense. You got Martha, she's agitated, clearly. You got Jesus, he's doing his thing, and then you got Mary, she's sitting there on the floor, and she's just like, should I go? What should I do? All right, this is, you know, she's trying to figure that out. And Jesus looks at Martha, and he says, Martha, Martha. By the way, if Jesus is using your name twice in a row, you know you're in trouble, okay? He says, Martha, Martha, you are so worried and so upset. And this word upset can be translated as anxious. He's saying, you are so worried and you are so anxious about so many things, but there's only one thing that's necessary. He's saying there's only one thing that should have your focus right now. There's only one thing that should have your attention, and that, by the way, Martha, is me. And Mary has made the right choice, and it's not going to be taken from her. And Martha drops it. See, Jesus is trying to get Martha to understand that she's in the presence of God, but she's totally focused on her sister. He's trying to get her to understand that God of the universe is sitting in her living room, and she's worried about the kitchen. See, Jesus is saying, Martha, you're so focused on all these things. Hey, I'm right here. You ever have to do that with your kids? We're like, hey, all right, focus in. You got it? All right, I want to see your eyes, eye contact here. You ever do that? I'm right here. Focus on me is what Jesus is saying. See, many of us, we're so busy at doing things that we're missing out on the best things. All right, we could get by on that for a while. I think maybe it's like, you know, when you're working so hard at work and you have so much stuff going on that you skip lunch, not ideal, not something that any of us look forward to, but we can like move on, all right? We could go on and we could do that for a while, but not long term. That's not gonna last long. And so my question for you today is, what's distracting you? Like, seriously, think about that. What in your life is distracting you from him? Not even just the big ones. The big ones are easy, right? Oh, yeah, work, phone, I got all this stuff going on, project. I'm talking about even the little ones that creep into your life that you haven't realized that they are there until now. And usually, can I just help you out with this? Usually those things are good things. Usually they are good. They're not bad. See, what fills your life? What things add to the busyness of your life? Is it work? Is it your kids' sports? Is it your phone? Is it working out? Netflix? Family stuff? What is it? Right? It could be so many different things that keeps us from what's truly important in life. And what's truly important in our life as a Christian, which is hopefully most of us in this room, is our relationship with our Creator and being on mission for Him. That's the most important. That's why we are here. That's our mission. That's our job in our life. And our life is just far too valuable to waste our time on distractions and busyness. And so I got a challenge for you. We don't do this hardly ever, but today I got something I'd like you to do. What I challenge you to do is maybe this afternoon or tonight, whenever you have time, but do this today. Put the phone down. Better yet, shut it down. Get alone. Go on a walk. Go on a drive. If you aren't with anybody else, you know, in a certain room, just sit there, whatever that looks like for you. Don't lay down, all right? Don't lay down on the couch. Don't lay down on the bed. You will not survive this challenge, okay? All right, you will fall asleep. All right, but spend some time with God. I'm talking like 10 minutes. Like 10 minutes is not very long, right? When was the last time you spent 10 minutes just between you and your creator, who, by the way, is always there begging to have that relationship with you? He's begging for you to talk to him, but you are so consumed in your life with all this busyness, with all these things to do, that we forget that he's there. When was the last time you spent 10 minutes with him? And some of you guys, you're like, I don't know what that looks like. 10 minutes, what am I going to say? Like, hey, God, you know, how are you doing? Like some of us, you've never done this before. You've never made this a habit in your life, which, by the way, it should be. And so this is so foreign to you. It's super simple. It's actually super relaxing as well. Tell him about your day. I get he already knows, but just tell him about your day. Ask him for help with busyness. Ask him to use you to reach the people around you. Tell him how awesome he is, okay? Thank him. I mean, one of those alone could take 10 minutes. See, many of us, we'd rather do a bunch of good things than spend time with him. And I think a lot of us, Jesus is like standing there. And he's like, hey, focus here. I'm right here. Zach, focus right here. I want you to focus on me. We got all these different distractions all around us. See, distraction and busyness is the enemy of devotion. And God has called us to be devoted to him. And if we could just focus on what is truly important, and then it's okay for us to sprinkle in the lesser things. I'm not saying don't do all the other stuff. I'm saying focus on what's the main thing, and that's the thing that takes priority over all the lesser stuff. Our relationship with God takes priority in our life above everything else, all right? We will be better as an employee, as a parent, as a friend, as a spouse. We will be better used by God. We here at Grace, we need to be a church that stays focused on him and that lives for him. That even though we have all this busyness and all this distraction constantly presenting themselves to us and fighting for our attention, we say no to those things. We say no to elevating those things above God, and we focus on him. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this short little story that only Luke records, 5 verses. But God, it teaches us, and actually we all can relate to us because every single one of us have been a Martha. We are a Martha. So distracted by all these different things when we really, truly need to focus on you. That fixes everything. It puts everything else in line. Lord, we ask that you would help us do that. We need your help. We're not good enough to do it on our own. We need you. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.